Every fantasy has one fool, but this one has two. And the greatest lesson in life is to know even fools are right sometimes.
Looks like the upper hand is on the other foot.
It's time for the Fantasy Fool Show.
Tell us, Frey, dude.
Here's Brian and Mac.
Well, here we go, week number one, and it started out to be, a fool's week, I guess. What a tough one. Mac, what do you think on a scale of 1 to 10? Weirdest start to the season in a long time?
Yeah, I give it a 10.
Yeah, me too. Me too, because a lot of
even though things didn't work out very well for me across the board, I still give it a 10. Yeah, it was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen, and some crazy upsets and some players that didn't do well, the whole bit. I mean, it was great.
Yeah, and then injuries, you know, they came into play a little bit there. You know, nothing like starting your Monday night football game out with a James Conner. And I knew
it. It cost me a game.
Yeah.
All I needed was 14 points from him to win, that was it.
It just hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew it right away when we picked Conner, because we had him when he was great in 18.
Yep.
And then stayed away from him last year because he got injured toward the end of the year. Thought, he's good now.
Yep.
You know, everything's going to be fine. No. Yep.
Well, we'll just jump right ahead and just cross this off the list. Pick up Benny Snell for the Steelers if it's on your waiver wire. Kentucky stud, absolute workhorse back. If Connor's out for any amount of time, they're going to – I mean, all he did was rush for 110 yards last night.
Yeah, that's it. He didn't get touchdowns, but, you know, still – we better have the crowd noise behind us, obviously.
Yes.
I kind of forgot about that. But, I mean, what's a football game or a fantasy fools game without – Or a TV show or a radio show or whatever show without the actual canned crowd.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit this morning in our show about what went right and wrong, but more so talking about we're going to focus more on what should we believe going forward, and also the waiver wire is a big one this week. I mean, there's a lot of players that got hurt, so we're going to spend some time talking about that as well.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the better of the ideas. So you know what? We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Fantasy Fools.
More of the Fantasy Fools on K-Country 102.3.
Ladies and gentlemen, I assume you are ready for your fantasy to begin.
Fantasy Fools.
Yeah, well, you got to have a canned crowd noise, and you got to have Ricardo Montalban to start the show, too. So, all right, let's dive into this whole studs and duds, fact, fiction, waiver wire. Let's get into this stuff. You've got a lot of information.
We don't need to spend a lot of time on what went right. I think most of the things that we thought were going to happen in that category did happen. I mean, the Chiefs and the Ravens played extraordinarily well. The Saints played well. The Packers, I think that people were still kind of on the fence about Rodgers, but that's not the case anymore. They played extremely well, so get your Packers going. And if somehow inexplicably Rodgers is still on your waiver wire, you need to pick him up right now.
Yeah, you were right last week. You were the one, you told everybody,
get
Rodgers and put him on your bench at least,
because
he's going to be the man.
Yeah, he looked absolutely fantastic. He looked like Rodgers from 5 years ago. Yeah. I mean, he was just throwing dimes. It was wonderful. It was a great thing to see. You know, your running backs that you drafted high all did great. McCaffrey, Cook, Jacobs, I mean, no questions about them. Your Adam Thielens and the wide receivers, Davante Adams, all did great. A couple of things that I think people were on the fence about in terms of where you should draft them. Receivers like Robert Woods and Calvin Ridley had great games, so I think they're people that you're going to lock in moving forward. And Mark Andrews, the tight end for the Ravens, I think people were really high on him, and he did extremely well. And I think a couple of other things, too, just in terms of what we expected, the Saints defense, the Bills defense. And then another thing, too, the Pack, even though they let up a lot of points to the Vikings, the Packers defense played really well in that game. That score, that final score did not indicate how badly they throttled them. I'm sorry for those Vikings fans out there.
It was hard. It was a poorly coached game.
Yeah. Now, what went wrong, and in some cases, what were some unmitigated disasters? Well, first of all, I think, you know, if you were high on the Bucs in week one, I think your expectations should be set a little bit low, but you don't give up on them. I mean, they're going to take some time to get in sync, and I don't think you're worried. But they may have cost you week one if you had some Bucks playing. I also think that you should be concerned at least in the short term, about the Texans. I mean, although Watson did okay, it seems like they're just not quite sure what they're doing yet. And they're going to miss DeAndre Hopkins.
They're different without.
But on the other hand, David Johnson surprised a lot of people. He had a really nice game.
He did.
I think that you're really, really concerned if you drafted Mark Ingram in Baltimore. And one of our waiver wire pickups this week that we're really high on, if he's available, is J.K. Dobbins. He got the majority of the carries and looked like the primary back. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. If it's going to be a timeshare, then Ingram's stock is going to go way down. He had a great year last year, and he did have some competition. But the way that that Dobbins got used in that game should give a lot of people who have Ingram some concern. I also think that we don't need to spend a lot. I mean, if you had like me, for example, if you had the Colts in your knockout pool, an absolute disaster losing against Jacksonville. They looked terrible. And Phillip Rivers looked especially terrible. The 49ers did not look great, and the Eagles had an incredible collapse against Washington. And so I think you're concerned about those teams. Carson Wentz did not look good. He held onto the ball too long, 8 sacks. I mean, that was not good. I think the Vikings rebound. I don't think you worry about the Vikings. I don't know. It's a division game. It's Rodgers. And we talked, just like we talked about last week, Rodgers comes in with a chip on his shoulder. And they played like that. I don't know if the Packers are going to play like that every week. I also certainly don't think the Vikings are going to play that badly every week. They're just too loaded, and they'll get that turned around pretty quickly. So don't give up on any of those folks. The Detroit Lions look like a mess in their collapse. And then the other question that we have is, one of the things that I wrote down on our notes today is, who are some of these teams? You know, like, who are the Bears? You know, is Trubisky going to play that good every week? I mean, it's going to be exciting to kind of see how that plays out. Who are the Colts and the Jaguars and the Eagles and the 49ers? Are they going to be this bad all season long? In the case of the Jags, are they going to play better all season long? No, I mean, we just don't know.
It's hard to tell.
And I think the Patriots-Dolphins game, even though it was low scoring, tells a lot. The Patriots are a work in progress, and the Dolphins are going to be in every game. So I think as long as those things are happening, those players are worth picking up and playing. If you really need some help. Another thing too is that, you know, I just don't think you can put much faith in the Jets. The Jets looked absolutely terrible, and even though Crowder had a big game, it was mostly garbage time and mostly on one play. So I think you just have to be very careful about some of those folks. But really, I mean, if you drafted your running backs and wide receivers in basically the way that they were laid out for you, you were rewarded this week. It's some of those middle, second, third, fourth round draft picks, like your Mark Ingrams and some of these other folks, where they didn't produce quite the way. I mean, even one touchdown from Ingram would have been okay.
Right.
But they just didn't produce the way that we thought they were going to. And I think that's going to give us some concern moving into week two.
That happened with a few folks if they just would have got a touchdown. But that's the fantasy fools or fantasy football problem.
Yes.
You're just always – somebody's always missing that touchdown. You had Baker Mayfield on the list here too.
The Browns. We have to mention them. Yeah.
You know, if you've got Baker Mayfield, he does have the – easiest schedule of all the quarterbacks. His strength of schedule is number one, and Brown's receivers' strength of schedule is 5.
Yeah, and I think you lump them together with the Vikings and the Texans. I just don't think they're going to play that bad every week. All three of those teams walked into different kinds of buzzsaws. Obviously, the Chiefs playing, coming off the Super Bowl at home. You're just not going to win that game. I don't care. It's just too tough. And I think that Cleveland going into Baltimore, and Baltimore's on a mission this year, that's a tough place to play and win, fans or no. I don't think you give up on the Browns. They didn't look good, no doubt about it. None of them look good. But I don't. There's just too much talent there, and I think that, like the Vikings and maybe the Texans, I'm not sure about the Texans, but I think they'll get things turned around, and those players will be serviceable for you.
One thing for certain, the week last week was preseason game 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
They were all lumped into one. They really hadn't had an opportunity to really go at it. So this may change things. I would expect week two to probably look a little bit different.
Yeah, I was surprised by the play. You know, like it didn't look bad. I mean, I thought it was going to look a lot worse, but it did not, you know. And that there's a lot of talk right now about whether or not is a preseason necessary. So, but you know, who knows?
We may have proved that It's not necessary. On the way, we're going to find out who's giving up the most fantasy points. I know it's only week one. It may not make a big difference right now, but we'll go through the numbers anyway and our top five from Mac coming up.
It's Brian and Mac.
Okay, here we go. We got a real nail biter going here. Third and 24 on the 50, tied 4. 3 left in the fourth. There's the huddle team. 4 split wide. The defense jumps a little. And there's the snap. QB steps back. He puts on the squeeze. Sets up. Here's the throw. He lets it all hang out. And it's a catch at the pylon. What? They mark the short of the goal. And the play's under review.
Stop right there.
You're listening to the Fantasy Fools on K-Country 102.3.
Fantasy Fools show here on K-Country 102.3. It's Brian and Mac, and let's find out who gave up points, and actually a plethora of points for this first weekend. The quarterbacks that were allowed points and a chunk of points, 30-plussers from the Falcons, the Vikings, the Jets, the Browns, and the Niners. Running backs, it was the Jags and the Cards and Panthers, Falcons, and Packers. Interesting, the varied degrees of teams here that we don't normally see on this list, and I'm sure some of them will disappear. Wide receivers, the Vikings gave up a buttload. The Seahawks, the Jets, the Giants, and the Lions. Tight ends, WFT.
Right?
I had to. Washington football team.
Yes.
And the Browns, the Broncos, Titans, and Ravens, and then the defenses that gave some points. The Eagles, the Bucks, the Browns, the Finns, and the Bengals.
All defenses, too. Well, I'm not sure about the Bengals, but all defenses that were on paper supposed to be pretty solid this year. And they, the Dolphins didn't give up a lot of points, but they also didn't, get a lot of sacks or anything like that. And, Cam Newton carved them up on the ground. It was. So, I mean, we're running into some of those early situations this season. And, our waiver wire and our injury lists are a mile long, but I just, I think that if you... If for whatever reason, if you need quarterback help, I think you look at somebody like a Gardner Minshew or a Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, they're not going to play every week, I think, like they played, but they also, might be diamonds in the rough and be, when your starter is on bye, they're going to be a nice backup if you're looking to have if you need a backup quarterback. And if you need running back help, I mean, I think there's just lots of, inexplicably, someone like Josh Kelly from the Chargers and James Robinson from Jacksonville, they might still be floating around on your waiver wire. Pick them up. Jonathan Taylor and Naheem Hines from the Colts with Marlon Mack out for the season. Those two are going to get a ton of carries. All of a sudden, here he comes just out of the blue, Adrian Peterson. I mean,
nobody expected that.
It's just absolutely marvelous. He's still running hard, and he looks great, catching the ball the whole bit.
Yeah.
There's, like we mentioned some other folks, too, like your J.K. Dobbins and your Benny Snell. But I also think, the Bears receivers looked good, Allen Robinson, and if Anthony Miller is available, pick him up. Mike Williams from the Chargers is a great pickup. Logan Thomas from Washington is a good pickup as well. And I also think that if and Brian and I were talking about this during the break, like Rodgers trusted his second and third wide receivers than ever. So if they're going to be scoring a lot of points, Lazard and Valdez-Scantling are worth taking a look. I really think you could do a lot worse than them. And if you need some tight end help, Dallas Goedert, our hometown hero, and Greg Olsen looked good in Seattle. So I think if you're looking for some tight end help, you can pick them up.
Yeah, I agree with you. Things look pretty good for Goddard, and if he is available, I'd pick him up and put him on the bench anyway. Because you just never know. Zach Ertz can get hurt.
Yep.
And Goddard's got this thing going on.
Well, I know. Back in the day when the Patriots had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, they ran both of them, and both of them got tons and tons of carries. And I think that the Eagles moving forward, after that loss, the Eagles are in full-blown desperation mode. I mean, they have high expectations this year. And they are just going to empty, you know, as we like to say, they're going to empty the clip. They're going to empty the playbook, right. And they're going to get everyone involved to get that first win.
Well, and with Carson Palmer playing the way he did this weekend, he's going to need those two tight ends.
Yeah, absolutely.
He really is, no
doubt. And he's going to need DeSean Jackson, who has a lot of potential. I think people were sort of sneaky high on him, including me. News report this morning is that that they're going to get Jackson more involved. Now, you never know if that's true or not, but I think they have to. He's still fast. He looked good. He just got overthrown. Wentz was bad. I mean, he was just bad in the game.
He hasn't been good since his first year.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
Injury kind of.
The one playoff game last year where he basically carried the team on his back, but a lot of that was on the ground and with some just basic smarts. But you're right. I mean, he hasn't looked sharp.
Right. How about a quick top five?
I'm really high. I mean, it's inexplicable, but I like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you got to
go
just
with
keep going.
Yep.
I also think Dak Prescott bounces back, and I think Cam Newton looks kind of interesting, you know, running the ball at Seattle. Seattle's defense isn't what it used to be. He might be a nice start if you need that. Running back, I'm rolling with Adrian Peterson. And we're not stating obvious players here in our
no.
our fives. You know, we're going with folks that we think can help us out. Joshua Kelly, and I think I'm going to go with him one more week. I'm going to give Mark Ingram a chance to bounce back.
Yep. Okay.
And receivers, Stephon Diggs at Buffalo. I think, you know, he played the good soldier and said all the right things, but they're going to have to get him involved or he's going to moan and groan just like he did in Minnesota. So they're going to, I think he has a big week this week. Calvin Ridley for the Falcons. And then I like those Bears receivers against the Giants, Robinson and Anthony Miller. And then for tight ends, Noah Fant for Denver. He looked good last night in one of the only things that looked good for Denver's offense. Greg Olsen versus the Patriots. And I like Dallas Goedert again.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I agree. I'm looking at Goddard myself. So, you know, yeah, there we go. We're giving her all up. All right, we're going to come back, and we're going to double down in just a bit.
You're listening to the Fantasy Fools on K-Country 102.3. You're listening to the Fantasy Fools on K-Country 102.3.
Well, all right, it's time to double down now with our State Farm Double Down, brought to you by your local discount Double Check State Farm agent, Paul Cruz. Decided that I needed to double down on the Buccaneers. I watched the game, and, you know, it didn't go the Bucs' way. It didn't go Brady's way. It really didn't go a whole lot of ways. But O.J. Howard surprised me a little bit. Well, I thought they were really going to use Gronk pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And those that were expecting something from Gronk, he may produce later on. But O.J. Howard had 13.6 PPR points, 9 standard points, and Gronk only had 3 PPR and 1 standard point.
Yep.
19 targets, though, to wide receivers for the Buccaneers and 10 to the tight ends.
Yeah.
So there is some potential there. Yep. So do you double down on O.J. Howard or do you just stick with Gronk because Gronk's Gronk?
I think it's an Eagles-type situation. I think both of those tight ends are going to be good moving forward. I think, the Bucs didn't look great, but I also think, like some of these other teams, New Orleans is tough as hell. I mean, they are they're a Super Bowl team. Their defense is spectacular, possibly the best in the league. That's just a tough game. That's a tough game to win. I don't care who you are. And I think that Bruce Arians although he historically doesn't like tight ends, he's going to get both of those guys involved. And I think it's just one of those things where you can probably do great with either one. Classic coin flip.
Right. And here's the other thing, though. I think for Brady and the Buccaneers, it was preseason game one, period.
Yep.
You know, they've never been together. They've never coached together. That whole thing is a complete different monster, and give them a couple of games.
Yeah, and don't forget Bruce Arians' history. Yeah. I mean, with the Steelers and then the Cardinals, all he does is create offenses that score 40 points a game.
Right.
The Buccaneers are going to be scoring 40 points a game before too long if they can hold up and stay healthy.
If you're going to double down on Howard, do it now, because I'm guessing that it might be Howard for the next couple of games, and then it'll become Gronk.
Yeah, the running, you know, maybe next week we can talk a little bit more about the Bucs running back situation. Because they've only got 4 running backs, including Leonard Fournette and LeSean McCoy.
Oh, and Fournette was just stop Ed, go nowhere.
Right.
Boom. All right, double down. Save up to 30% with Drive Safe and Save. Visit your local State Farm insurance agent, Paul Cruz, in Brookings today. Maybe you'll get the Rogers rate.
More of the Fantasy Fools next on K-Country 102.3. You're listening to the Fantasy Fools on K-Country 102.3.
Woohoo! So, week one in the books. That's weird. That's really weird to say, week one in the books. I just didn't think it was going to happen. So we move on to week two. Any words of wisdom here?
Well, I just want to spend a minute or two. Like, the injury list is a mile long, and there's some real important ones that folks, I mean, you'll see this when you look, but you need to play the waiver wires pretty carefully. But Marlon Mack and Blake Jarwin, the tight end for the Cowboys, and David Njoku, the tight end for Cleveland, I think Jarwin and Mack and Jarwin are out for the season. Njoku is still up in the air, but it looked bad. And so he may be out for the season. And some other folks, you know, like we mentioned, James Conner for the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell, if you're going to play any Jets, I don't even know if you have any interest in him. Hamstring, Duke Johnson for the Texans, ankle. These guys went out of the games. Justin Jackson for the Chargers, quad, left the game. Michael Thomas for New Orleans is ankle, but I think he's going to be okay. I think that was more precautionary. Cortland Sutton didn't even play last night for the Broncos. You know, that's a high draft pick with a knee. Kenny Golladay surprised everyone, including me. I've got him on two of my teams. He was my high pick for wide receiver, out for the Lions. That's a mess. And so maybe they're just being cautious. It's a hamstring. Hamstrings and wide receivers are usually just absolute, you know, disasters. And Devontae Parker, too, for the Dolphins, hamstring. Henry Ruggs for Las Vegas, and George Kittle for the 49ers, also out with some leg and knee problems. So keep your eye on them. I think, you know, there are some of these folks that are going to play next week, but you want to, especially gimpy hamstrings and stuff like that, you want to make sure that you've got somebody ready to go. So keep your eye on those injuries.
Yeah, you got to pay attention to them. The ones that concern me the most, Justin Jackson, I don't know that anybody grabbed him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Joshua Kelly pretty much showed his color there. He's the number two guy.
Yeah.
And it's very possible he could be the number one guy if Eckler doesn't step up a bit. And I don't know if it was Austin Eckler's fault. Mm-hmm. You can't point a finger and lay blame, but things just really didn't go well for Eckler.
Yeah, you know, this is why I mentioned somebody like Adrian Peterson. I mean, by and large, you're seeing this trend again in the NFL, and you see it year in and year out. It's hard to find that bell cow back, you know, that somebody that's going to run all three downs, you know, rarely comes out. And those folks are really, they have a tremendous amount of value. And so when you find somebody like Adrian Peterson, who's going to do a bulk of the running, that's somebody you want on your roster.
Right. He is still all day. You know?
We're coming up in the two-minute warning.
That's the two-minute warning.
Two-minute warning.
Two-minute warning.
Two-minute whistle blows, it's your ballgame.
Two-minute warning. Here we go.
Okay, so there's not a lot of time left. You mentioned Robert Woods, Adam Thielen, Calvin Ridley and Mark Andrews all in a row, and I read a lot of negative stuff on all four of them. I stayed away from all four of them because of all of the horrible prognosticating. You know, like, okay, well, I'm not targeting, because I wanted Mark Andrews. I really did. And Robert Woods. Matter of fact, on my cheat sheets, Robert Woods was the one green circle that I had because I had read a couple of articles about Robert Woods being the man this year. It was going to be his year. And then they started to get negative.
Yeah.
I'm like, dang it, I got to stay away from the guy.
Yeah, Robert Woods is a great pickup. He's probably not available, but if you're interested, he might be a good trade if your league is heavy into trading. He gets a lot of targets, catches a lot of balls, and don't forget he's involved in the running game.
That's the big thing. I was just going to say that. He comes out of the backfield, and I think with the Rams and the Rams line. Mm-hmm. Their O-line is strong. I have a feeling he's going to work real well out of the backfield there with Sean McVay.
Absolutely. So that's absolutely cool. And I'm really high on Calvin Ridley in Atlanta, too. I mean, remember, Atlanta, Matt Ryan threw for over 400 yards in that game, a 400-yard game that nobody knew about.
Isn't that something? And he has the worst schedule for a quarterback.
Yeah.
And I stayed away from Falcons because of their strength of schedule, and it scared the daylights out of me.
Yep.
But that doesn't necessarily hold Matt Ryan back.
No.
You know? So, all right, where do you go in week two? You know, this is the tough thing. The waiver wire is kind of ugly.
It is.
It is a little tough. There are some people out there, so maybe having a bad week in week one wasn't such a bad thing. It may be a blessing in disguise. You might grab that one or two wide receiver, running back, quarterback that's still available that may help you stabilize for the rest of the season.
Absolutely.
We'll wait and find out. Week one in the bags, week two coming up. I'm excited. Mac?
The truth will come out next week.
Yes, no doubt.